Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the home page, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the follow button. I am Sister Q, And joining me for this evening's discussion is Baba Hakima, one of the founding members of ULU. Tonight's topic is ULU and Mu Ijumaa in building the infrastructure of Black economic self-determination. Peace, Baba Hakima. How are you tonight?
Peace, sis. I'm doing well. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Beautiful, beautiful. As I always say, it seems that these Thursdays roll around so quickly, but I want to say emphatically that it's always good to be with the family. So I'm doing well and looking forward to our conversation tonight.
I am looking forward to it as well, Baba Hakim. Where would you like to begin for tonight's discussion?
Well, I want to begin with a challenge to our listeners, and I want, to the extent possible, our time together to be interactive. So I'm going to be advancing some ideas or concepts, and it will help the process if brothers and sisters in the listening audience, if they're in a position to call in, in fact, do call in and ask questions or make comments. So that's why I want to start with the challenge to the listening audience to participate. But otherwise, just want to be clear that we do these every third Thursday reviews to keep membership and the general public informed about updates or changes in ULU, and that's one of the primary reasons. Another primary reason for our session on these Thursdays is to provide additional information about our master plan, if we could call it that. But in terms of just updates, I want to point out two things. This coming March, we're having our annual members meeting and convention. It will be held virtually this year, but I want to encourage every member to go ahead and register now. You can go to our website, usliftingus.com, and then right at the top of the page, you'll see a flyer promoting the convention. Click and register. And for brothers and sisters in the listening audience who are not members, I want to encourage you to go ahead and become a member and then register for the convention. The other thing I want to point out in terms of updates is that each Sunday at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we're hosting what we call a UBC boot camp. And this is in furtherance of our efforts to organize ULU chapters in local communities. We're going to start here in Atlanta, and then we'll use the Atlanta experience as prototypes for building around the country and in other countries as well, other locations. But for members who have not received an invitation to join us at 4 o'clock on Sundays, reach out to us and let us know that you want to be involved in that. Again, it's primarily for members of ULU in Atlanta, but even members outside of Atlanta, if you want to get a heads up in terms of what might be coming to your community soon, you're welcome to chime in as well. But this is by invitation only. There will be no link that the general public can click to join it. And if you want to be included, send us an email at info@usliftingus or call us at our phone number listed on the website and let us know that you are a member, that you want to be included in the mail-ins for the UBC boot camp. Now, you're going to appreciate, for those of you who are not familiar with the term UBC, you're going to appreciate it more as we go into our discussion this evening. But this is one of the basic building blocks in Ulu. So that's essentially our goals. This evening, I want to focus our attention on our basic plan. And in terms of branding, our basic plan is entitled New Ujamaa, NEW-Ujamaa. And I'm going to go into a little bit of that and discuss more about that. But in terms of our basic plan, our objectives, our mission, some of it is captured in our name. Our name is Us Lifting Us, Economic Development Cooperative. But the Us Lifting Us is what I want us to focus on. That sounds good. Our logo is really impressive, and when we, before the virus hit, when we would be vending in the parks and showing our T-shirts, there would be brothers and sisters that would buy our T-shirts just because our brand, Us Lifting Us, is so impressive. But what I want us to focus on is when we say Us Lifting Us, and we know we should and need to lift each other, but the question is by what method? How is that to be done? The desire among our people for advancement, for uplift, for liberation, for empowerment is strong, extremely strong. I suggest that we're probably the most revolutionary people on the planet, and we don't give ourselves credit for that, but most people around the world recognize that. And I won't go into that any further, but the question is the method by which we lift ourselves, us lifting us. New Ujamaa is that, but I want to go into it a little deeper. There's another phrase that we use in the black community, or even it's bleeding over into the European community as well, but the saying that it takes a village to raise a child. Again, it takes a village to raise a child. That's obvious. But from our perspective, the more important question is what does it take to raise the village and to sustain that raising, that growth, that empowerment? So what does it take to raise the village? We have some idea of what the statement said is all about when it says it takes a village to raise a child. Now, in both of those instances, us lifting us, what's the method? What does it take to raise the village? It calls for a method. It calls for a way, in fact, to raise the village. Part of what is required is a shift in our mentality. And we say a sovereign mindset set or sovereign psyche. And we've talked about that sometimes on the Dare to Win programs. And what I really want to make clear is that it's one thing to have a mindset, knowledge, and a position in terms of fighting against oppression. It's quite another thing to have internalized, adopted certain consciousness and practices that speak to requirements for building the models, the machinery, or what is going to take to put us in a different position. One of the things I noticed, and I think every brother and sister on the call on the broadcast realizing. And, well, I'll say for myself, I probably receive no less than 50 emails a day focused on the diabolical nature of predatory capitalism, the things mm-hmm. that other groups are doing, other races are doing. And it seems that we are mystified at how diabolical predatory capitalistic forces in the world can be. I'm really mm-hmm. looking for a time and a day when we're not fazed by all of the ways that others can come up that can develop to injure us, to rob us, to hold us down. And so I'm looking for a time when maybe in a day I receive 3, 4, 5 emails from brothers and sisters who are amazed at the diabolical nature of predatory capitalism. So one of the things we're reminded of is that in our struggle as African people, we must fight against oppression. We must take time and attention to heal ourselves from the wounds, but we must also build. It's mm-hmm. not enough to fight. It's not enough to lick our wounds and to heal. But if we don't build, we will forever be fighting and healing and not in the position to grow beyond the challenges. So when we talk about New Ujamaa, when we talk about ULU and New Ujamaa, our system, our basic plan, we're talking about building. And so I want to focus on that and go a little deeper into that. Again, we're using the term New Ujamaa. Now, the term Ujamaa is fairly well utilized and known in our community. There are anywhere from 15 million to 20 million of us who celebrate Kwanzaa each year. And we know that the fourth day of Kwanzaa, the fourth principle of the Nguzo Saba is Ujamaa. What mm-hmm. we're suggesting in Us Lifting Us is we want to grab a hold of that term and strengthen it as New Ujamaa and build a systematic process, an infrastructure, a machinery, or a way to accomplish and succeed in the arena of economic empowerment or economic self-determination. And we're going to be doing some things that we have never done in the past as a part of this overall system. But let's give a little bit more amplification for Ujamaa and really what we mean. We may remember that Ujamaa as a political term and not just a cultural term. We can point to the experiment in Tanzania under the leadership of Julius Nyerere. And I would encourage all of us to study the Arusha Declaration, which was the governing document that was formulated by Nyerere and the TANU political party and was operational during the height of that movement, and some elements of it are still in place, but it's generally recognized as not having been successful as it could have been. But the principles, the value system is there, and so we want to bring Ujamaa into the 21st century and brand it as New Ujamaa, and essentially as these weeks go by with Dare to Win, and on our website and in our videos that's on our YouTube channel, you will see the logic, the wisdom, and the power of Ujamaa as a systematic way of building an infrastructure that gives us the capacity to gain incrementally greater and greater and greater economic power in our local communities. The goal, of course, is to get to a point where we are the primary economic players in the spaces where we live. Of course, that's a projected effort. But Amos Wilson said something, and I'm not sure which is his videos it is, but I remember distinctly him saying that a good idea is one of the most tangible things you can possess.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, anything that you possess that is fashioned by humans started as an idea. So New Ujamaa is actually more than an idea. We've already begun to build on it. We didn't call it New Ujamaa, but for those of our listening audience who may not know, ULU was actually founded in 2013. And so we're right at 10 years of massaging this process, refining it, tweaking it here and there, some success stories, some failures. But we're in place to really provide greater guidance than we otherwise would have without some of the things that we've gone through at this time in terms of what it's going to take for us to succeed in our communities. Now, on our website, and I want to encourage all of our listeners who have not already gone there, usliftingus.com, about the middle of the page, there's an invitation for you to click onto a link and view a video. The video, the title is A Serious Question for You. And the question is, do you think we should control the economics of our community? And then I think it's about a 17-minute video. I want to encourage everybody to go there, view it, and if you're so moved, become a member today, tomorrow, or the next minute. But there are three things that are featured in the video. And as elements of our overall plan. And I want to mention them, and then it may be time for a break or to see if anyone is chiming in. But the first element of New Ujamaa, our master plan, is an effective method for aggregating the resources of our community and people. And I dare say that they're awesome resources. Sometimes people think that African people are impoverished. Certainly, there are pockets of impoverishment among our people globally, even locally. But when you assess the real value and wealth of our people, it's considerable, and I won't go into that. But the first focus is on an effective method or way or process for aggregating, for pooling our considerable resources. This includes our ideas, our energy, our labor, certainly our capital or capital resources. The second element of our plan is an effective way or process for organizing our resources for growth. In other words, it's one thing to tap into those resources, but we must organize them in a specific manner for growth and development in our community. And the third aspect of that is an effective method for sharing the surplus of the development with the community. In other words, not to create a scenario where a few individuals have success and hoard that the fruits of that success. So we want to, again, focus on effective methods for aggregating our wealth, then ways to organize those aggregated resources, and we do that, and we'll talk about it later, in forming group-owned business enterprises that meet a community need and that we're successful at doing that. And then in the third instance, how we share the wealth, share the love, share the benefits to more effectively empower our community. Now, I want to limit our discussion this evening for the rest of our discussion to the question of how we aggregate our resources for development and go a little bit deeper into that first of the three factors or features of our empowerment system. You let me know if I need to go on into that or if we need to
it's almost 9:30, so if you would like to take a break, we could take it now, and then when you come back,
okay,
you can sail on.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
So when we come back, we're going to be specific in terms of that part of our system that's used to aggregate the resources of our people. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. We'll be right back.
Out of the drum we come. As a people, out of the drum we come. Out of the drum we come, oh. As a people, out of the drum we come, no. Oh. Out of the drum. The dance of the elder. Everybody dance. Respect yourself. Dance for the elder. Everybody dance. Respect yourself. Oh. Out of the drum. We come! As a people here. Respect your elders, yeah! How did the drum come?
Okay, Baba. We do not have any hands raised at this time, so
okay. You're
free to go into the meat of the discussion.
Okay. Well, thank you for the interlude. Thank you for sharing that with us. So we want to talk about the when we referred to our video on the website, we talked about three features or areas or factors of our empowerment plan. So the first one is an effective method for aggregating, for pulling together, for pooling the resources of our people. As some of you in the listening audience know, and some of you may not know, but that our strategy up until this point was to build membership into our overarching organization. We have in excess of 600 members, maybe closer to 700, mostly in the U.S., Canada, Europe, East Africa, Central Africa, West Africa, and the Caribbean. I know we have at least two or three members in the Middle East. One brother sticks out like a sore thumb in South Korea. But wherever African people are, they can be a part of ULU as a member, an individual or an organization. Now, certainly with that limited reach, we've been able to aggregate some resources. But part of New Ujamaa and what we are doing in the current period is focused on building ULU chapters in local communities around the world, starting in the U.S. The ULU chapters we call UBCs, ULU Base Communities. ULU-based community. In other words, we want to look at ourselves as a community. And we further describe the ULU-based community as family-centered economics and Ujamaa as family-centered economics, or better yet, a familyhood that develops and sustain an economy. So we want to build into the future, focusing on what is good economically, culturally, politically, socially, for the group, for the family. So our primary method for doing that and aggregating our resources will focus on building ULU chapters in local communities. Most of these will be fairly small, 15, 20, 50, 75 individuals and their families. And we can have multiple UBCs in any town, city. We're going to start with focusing on two ULU chapters or two UBCs here in Atlanta. But we're so spread out, we could easily have four, five, six, 10 UBCs in Atlanta. To give you a sense of scale, I think the NAACP has in excess of 2,000 chapters, some of them on college campuses and, you know, military bases. I'm not sure where they are. But you can see that you can have a good number of chapters when they are relatively small. Now, we would use these UBCs, ULU-based communities, again, relatively small, in local communities where these ULU members can focus on a zip code, a school district, a precinct, or other familiar markings in terms of what their turf is. And they will name themselves after their turf. And so it'll be ULU-based collective slash, you know, Buttermilk Bottom, or whatever the name may be, UBC slash DMV, or UBC dash Charlotte, or whatever it may be. But these members in a local area will focus their energy as a family, as a collective, a local collective. And they'll do a few things to facilitate the aggregation process. The first thing they'll do is utilizing the tools that we have and other tools that we'll develop. The first thing they'll do is build community or familyhood among themselves, the ULU members. They need to get to know each other, get to know each other's families as best they can. Utilize one of the tools that you speak about, Sister Q, very often. That's the ULU online community. And so each UBC, each local chapter, will build a group inside of our online ULU community. And so that each member of the UBC can go to that platform and see who is in the UBC. They can see the profile of each of the members. And in most cases, there's a phone number, there's an email address, there's a profile in terms of special interests, special skills for that other member. And the local UBC will come together at least once a month, either face-to-face, electronically, or a combination of that. And they will develop a structure among themselves so that there may be some things of special interest that they focus on. So in addition to a monthly UBC coming together, meeting, they will maybe based on special needs or committees, some of them will meet more often. Ultimately, they will look to a space that they will call their own as well. It may be called a community center. It may be, you know, a coffee house, a networking lounge, and whatever. But at some point in the not-too-distant future, they will identify space where they come together eyeball to eyeball. And the most ideal situation is that it is a space that they own collectively as a part of ULU. So the first thing that the local UBC does in Charlotte, in Memphis, in Dallas, or in Lagos, or in Ghana, they build relationships among themselves. There may be some things that pop out that they can do among themselves before they actually develop business enterprises that we're going to talk about in a moment. There's some things that they can do, and simple things, sharing recipes, sharing remedies, medical, herbal remedies, sharing seeds, developing a seed bank, and developing knowledge in terms of, again, the skills and the special interests of each member so that they can call on each other and commune with each other, and not just a social way, but in some cases mm-hmm. to actually meet concrete needs. Any number of things that they can do together. I know in Atlanta, at some point we developed a collective buy-in. We bought food together at the farmers mm-hmm. market. We put in money. We sent people to the market to get what it was that we needed. We had a way for dividing that, and even delivery, so that people didn't have to come to where the food was, that there was some consideration for packaging and delivering. So there are any number of things that the Ulu-based collective can do among themselves to build and to sustain community. And we definitely want to involve our young people in the process and educate them, inculcate them with the values of New Ujamaa, which includes the Kwanzaa value system, the Nguza Saba, and it includes Ma'at. And in Ulu, we're beginning to use an affirmation that affirms our commitment to the value system in Ulu. So that's the first thing that we do to position ourselves to aggregate or pool our resource, in particular our social, cultural resources. But we're going to expand on that as well. The second thing that the UBC does is to format itself and participate in the process of building community between the local